this adoption is also not straightforward. You cannot just say that, okay, tomorrow morning I am AI. It doesn't work that way. It requires significant organizational change.
The automation and the AI are going to help me do my job better and help me, deliver more value to the businesses and the partners and the clients that I get to work with.
That's where things start becoming interesting, and it needs to be done in the context of a specific problem.
This is the Tech Barometer podcast. I'm Jason Lopez. The complexity of running data centers and doing IT tasks is only increasing, but the promise of AI is to empower IT teams to handle many tasks which are becoming humanly impossible. On the line to chat about this in sort of a freeform conversation is Rahul Kelkar, the global head of product management at Digitate. He's been building products and tools in automation, machine learning, and AI for the last 10 years. And joining him is Tarek Parekh, Director of Product Management at Nutanix. He's been building enterprise software for the past 20 years, and currently he leads the manageability and API charter at Nutanix. We started the chat off by talking about one of the obvious issues in IT this past year, the effects of the pandemic, especially with regards to AI and ML adoption. Tarek starts us off here.
Our customers and enterprises were already looking to convert or transform their businesses to be more automated, to deliver more value, to be more agile. And what this pandemic has done essentially has sped up by a factor of 10. The digital transformation that was already underway. The way the pandemic has affected is it's proven to be an opportunity for a lot of companies who did their entire digital transformation that were looking to do in the next, let's say, 5 to 6 years. And they just fast forwarded all of that into this particular year.
Yeah, I think I agree with it. So I think, as you said, enterprises were sort of force rushed into this operating model. They had no choice but to operate and ensure availability of their IT and business systems. Of course, all of this was being done by using whatever limited hands on the deck everybody had. Now we have sort of settled into a new working model where there is a systematic solution that is being put into place to handle this situation. If I may say, for a foreseeable future, it is likely to be this way.
Yeah, well, it seems like a lot of what we thought of before COVID is a distant memory to us. And, I want to touch just a little more on the idea of what was happening before COVID in terms of digital adoption. So Rahul, what was going on from your point of view before the pandemic hit?
So as Tarek was saying, there was this transformation that was anyway ongoing. Everybody was looking at the future and trying to embrace the digital world. But that transformation would have taken the, if I can use the term, natural evolution scale. It would have taken 10 years. What COVID did was it sort of became a catalyst to shorten that transformation cycle by maybe a factor of 10, is how I look at it.
Wow. So what you're saying is that we're seeing in this past year 10 years worth of roadmaps and plans that were all compressed into 2020, pretty much.
Yeah, that's what I feel.
Wow.
Yeah. Naturally, with the arrival of Amazon, actually, a lot of the existing brick and mortar businesses such as Walmart and Target have had to digitize to essentially provide a way for you to place an online order and go and pick up the order in store, for example. And then suddenly pandemic hit, right? And a small thing that Target added, for example, they added the whole thing about curbside pickup, right? And that feature kind of showed up within 2 to 3 months of pandemic hitting. And that to me was actually pretty surprising, because something like that, wherein you're completely delivering a new channel, a new way of delivering, would have taken maybe a year, 2 years to essentially integrate with their app, with their website, and have that whole logistics setup done to adapt to what the environment is. And they were able to do that in like 3 months of pandemic hitting. Now, that to your point about how fast digital adoption has happened, something that would have taken maybe 12 to 18 months just happened in 3 months. Just the acceleration of what they could deliver this quickly, I don't think would have happened if the digital adoption that was already underway was not there and they had the drive to accelerate it and take advantage of the current situation to deliver these kind of features that build more business.
And you know, what's interesting is as much as we, you know, we see this as consumers, oh, great, we can just go pick up today, you know, curbside pickup. You know, what we don't see is that there's automation behind the scenes there. And it's not just because of COVID. There's kind of a trend there.
From a trend standpoint, you know, given the kind of business environment we live in, I don't think we have a choice but to automate and utilize various forms of AI to react to these various business events. I mean, just as an example, a few years ago, our customers were just content with manual reporting and some scripting or some very basic form of automation. But as we all know, there have been increased demands on IT, and there's also a lot of competitive pressures to stay ahead of the pack. So this has increased not just the awareness of what the IT team and our customers need to stay ahead of the pack, but it's also increased the appetite for automation. And now what we are seeing, in addition to the fact that, you know, there was a hurdle to show the value what automation and AI could bring, combined with the fact that this automation kind of led the fear in our customers' minds that automation is probably going to take away my job, for example. You know, that level of fear has subsided, right? And we are seeing more and more acceptance towards automation. People are looking to utilize data and apply algorithms on top of it to essentially gain more insights. But and what they figured out that, in, you know, the automation and the AI are going to help me do my job better and help me, you know, deliver more value to the businesses and the partners and the clients that I get to work with.
Right. Well, I wonder if one of you could speak to that idea of, you know, this ability to understand more and more data. We hear this all the time, you know, big data. But what are the benefits of AI and machine learning in the IT space when it comes to being able to handle, you know, this deluge of data?
Yeah, I think, you said it. I think this is almost, if I can use the analogy of a perfect storm, right? The whole world is hyper-instrumented. There is all sorts of signals coming from IT systems, OT systems, several other things, right? Even consumer behavior is getting logged. So there is a super instrumented, hyper instrumented world, which is producing tons of data. All the systems have sort of now become more manageable. Like there is an app for everything, for example. You can easily remotely manage everything. And then of course, there is advent in computing. There are hyper connected systems, and there is overall democratization of these algorithms in this AI machine learning space, which is a great thing. So a combination of these three creates this, if you will, perfect storm. And that's what is actually fueling this tremendous adoption, whether it comes to individuals or enterprises, is what I feel.
Tarek, what do you think of this question about data? You know, I'm not trying to be too open-ended here, but what do you think about that?
I think the question is really good, and it's very relevant to this day and age, right? I mean, and I think Rahul just put it really well too. The only color I'll add is using the cliche that a lot of people use, that data is the new oil. And yes, there's lots of data. The way we use it, the way we essentially have the right level of ethics incorporated in it, and the way it actually delivers consumable value for all of us, is going to be key in terms of how this vast amounts of data that is being collected is going to be utilized and how far we go ahead with it.
Well, thank you for that insight, Tarek, because it's always interesting what technologists think about where we're going. You know, we're not just hurtling blindly, but that there are people thinking thoughtfully about these things behind the scenes. So let's go back to where we were with the adoption question. I just want to find out a little more about some of the real world things. Just put some color on what's really happening on the ground right now.
Sure. let me take the example of retail enterprises, because retail is a very critical business, as all of us have learned in the last 12 months. So it needs to be up and running even during lockdowns, to put it simply. Autonomously managing physical stores, digital stores is super critical for all retailers. And a combination of these two is what is really required in all sorts of situations. So a solution that sort of holistically enables management of geographically distributed stores by providing top-down visibility into point of sales or checkouts or replenishments and promotions or inventory and logistics, and of course all the rest of the business processes, by managing corresponding applications and devices is very critical. As a result of this complexity and distributed nature of business, retailers are very, very keen in adopting AI and automation solutions so that they can assure this business on a 24/7 scale, both digitally and physically.
Tarek, what's your sense of that?
Yeah, no, I love the way Rahul put it. But, you know, a couple of things that retail has also taken further, you know, kind of touch upon the point that Rahul made around physical stores. An example that kind of comes to mind is one of our customers who's a big retailer and has got stores across the globe. In addition to the fact that they've looked to delivering cashless purchases or non-point of sale kind of purchases, delivering customer value and making it easy for customers to buy products. What they've also done is they've extended automation to a large portion of their IT infrastructure and logistics too, which is not surprising, but it's something that we don't get to see from the outside. For every quote-unquote neighborhood store they kind of put up, what they've done is they've automated the entire physical infrastructure, networking, application deployment, things of that nature, the entire IT stack that took them maybe approximately 3 months to put up through automation. Now they do that entire process in 8 hours, which was just unheard of. So again, I think retail has been at the forefront of automation and AI and a combination of both in their processes and products.
Right. Well, I have a question for both of you, and this comes from just having talked to a number of technologists over the past year. Lately, I talked to Wendy Pfeiffer, the CIO of Nutanix, Professor Art Langer, who teaches at Columbia University and has written a book on the coming technologies of 5G and AI and IoT and these sorts of things. And the one thing that really seems to be causing a lot of anxiety for companies is how much this is going to cost. So I'm wondering what the ROI looks like. And I wonder if you could talk about that.
Yeah, so I can. This adoption is a journey. And as you rightly said, the ROI will take time. This adoption is also not straightforward. You cannot just say that, okay, tomorrow morning I am AI. It doesn't work that way. It requires significant organizational change to go along with it so that one can restructure your organization, your team structure, so that the benefits can be maximized in the short term. The benefits are of two kinds. One is naturally increase in the operational efficiency, which leads to more agile operations. Of course, the second one being improved transparency overall for a more consistent decision making. So these are sort of short-term benefits that start accruing immediately. And both of these require significant organizational change to be made so that you can actually count those. In the mid to long term, again, the benefits are of two kinds. Once the enterprise starts combining insights and automation, the whole thing starts leading to more stable IT and indirectly more stable business systems. So more consistent operations, no downtimes. And eventually this starts providing significant business assurance so that the businesses now are free to not only trust IT and it will always be running to the level of performance that they expect. But if they run into a situation like this, where they need to transform very, very quickly, the IT will be able to respond because of the agility benefits and adapt to the newer business models, if you will, very quickly. So those are the long-term benefits that's what I have seen.
Okay. Well, thank you for that insight. I'd like to now ask you some questions. They're going to sound like we're putting philosopher's hats on, but actually not. But in the popular notions of AI, you know, you look at a movie like 2001, A Space Odyssey, you have this sentient being in a machine. And of course, they need to create this character. But this is the movies, right? And this is what you do in order to create drama. But if this were an actual AI capable of doing much of the same things that HAL's doing, we're really talking about a form of automation. And what I'd like you to do is sort of tie back that popular notion of AI, perhaps maybe demystify it a little bit, and explain what the underpinnings are of the actual technologies that are being implemented going forward.
Yeah, I think it's a great question, by the way. Initially, if I may say, the idea, as Tarak was saying, was primarily, can the machine simply do it as a sort of virtual engineer? It started with basic things like, can I automate a task? And because that's what the humans are doing. And that's where the first attempts were made. And then quickly it was realized that it is really not adding up. Because, yeah, you automated the task, but there is this whole procedure that needs to be orchestrated in order to really realize the benefits end to end. So then it's matured into this space of, can I automate the entire procedure, which then starts getting into this realm of, oh, the procedure needs to make decisions because it needs to handle 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 situations. So that's where it started becoming, the maturity started going up on the automation side. On the other axis, which is the intelligence or analytics, as people call it, it first started with just slicing and dicing of data. Everything leaves breadcrumbs. So the first idea that was being done was, can I aggregate these breadcrumbs or footprint that are left by different technologies and processes into a single source of truth so that then I can run my smart algorithms on it and try and derive some insights from it. So it started from there into sort of descriptive analytics, if you will. Can I slice and dice the information and make it more readable for a human? Then it into sort of start, okay, I mean, that's great, but it is not really helping. It's just providing transparency. Can it start sort of deriving some more insights automatically? So from descriptive, it started getting into diagnostics, where it was looking at some objectives and trying to figure out, oh, can I support that objective or not support that objective with evidence based on the data that I have available. Then it started getting into more like a predictive and prescriptive kind of realm, where can I use that data to sort of predict upcoming events? Because why are we deriving insights? So that we can eliminate bad things from happening in the future. So can I take it to the next level and sort of simulate and predict things? And ultimate aim is, okay, given my prediction and given the fact that I know how I have derived at that prediction, can I prescribe a course of action so that it can be mitigated? So there was this sort of dual two-axis maturity, if you will, on which this whole journey has been done. And there are people at various stages in this two-dimensional grid.
Interesting. That's really fascinating. Tarek, what's your take on this?
Yeah, and just to build on it, right? I mean, there has been a continuous evolution around this, just as Rahul kind of laid out. And the beauty of it is the practical value that we get to consume as just consumers in our day-to-day lives, right? So for example, whether we know it or not, I think every interaction that we do with a website or a device or even the food that we eat is in some form or manner powered and enabled through automation and AI. So to your comment about 2001, A Space Odyssey, you know, it's amazing how the movie creators have essentially laid out the future for us. And we are kind of living it now, although we are in the cusp of it. And I don't believe, at least that's the personal opinion, that we're going to get to a 1984 kind of Orwellian style future. But the good part is we are all living the practical value of this automation in AI. My son kind of, you know, sets his alarm on Alexa to a track on Spotify, given some context, right? And all of that gets automatically set up. That's just amazing. That's done through automation. We have, you know, chatbots, for example. You know, we've all faced the pain of waiting for a customer associate to show up as we kind of listen to their favorite hold music. And suddenly now you have chatbots who are able to answer the majority of the questions that you have for a banking business or things of that nature. All of that's powered through AI and automation. So with that, you know, the good part is it's invisible, it's there, and the practical value is something that we consume in a day-to-day life. And so even though the AI and automation powered, you know, current present doesn't look all 2001 Space Odyssey-like, but we are living it now, and it's amazing how the practical value that has been delivered and how it's actually enhanced our lives in general on a day-to-day basis.
Wow, that's really a great point, because the real impact of AI on our lives is going to be behind the scenes, allowing us to be more human by not having to interact as much with devices because they will be invisible. Really great point. And it kind of reminds me of the way Garry Kasparov in a column once demystified computers when he said that he wasn't beaten by a thinking entity. He was beaten by a toaster, basically, you know, billions of toasters. And it goes to the point that in the end, these are tools.
So, Jason, I think I'll just like to add to what you just said, right? Sure. The Garry Kasparov thing, right? I think it's a great point that you need to be able to take automated actions, handle situations, and on the other axis, make decisions that are just not here and now, but probably predicted, and prescribe a course of action. And combination of these two is what actually makes the system super intelligent. I think just taking decision and leaving up to somebody else to enact it is great, but not really brilliant. Whereas if you kind of combine these two, you get into this whole closed loop thing where you are able to autonomously decide, predict, prescribe, and also close that loop by leveraging the smart automation that you have in place. That's where things start becoming interesting, and it needs to be done in the context of a specific problem. And that's where it starts becoming super exciting, frankly.
Well, why don't we wrap up with a look at what you think is going to happen down the road? What are we expecting to see in the coming years?
I think, you know, I can even safely say that we're just heading to a more of an automated and AI-driven world. Certainly, there has been more acceptance and adoption of automation. People are less scared of, quote unquote, losing their jobs. You know, consumers have become more, you know, comfortable with having AI and automate kind of permeate our lives. Companies who are at the forefront of this transformation, you know, are certainly going to, you know, be and continue building upon that, you know, the lead that they have. So in general, I mean, and this pandemic has kind of shown us that, right, as to who's able to adopt this and who's able to thrive, not just survive in this kind of environment. We also know, you know, from our customer base that, you know, we are still in the initial phases of this automation / AI based transformation. So to your earlier comment of whether we're sentient beings per se, we are not there yet. And you know, we are able to understand that these are tools, and you know, this can enhance our lives greatly and can certainly add a lot of value to our, you know, daily operations and daily lives. A crawl, walk, run is generally what our customers have kind of adopted and how they're using or incorporating automation and AI in their various activities. And so it's a great way. Well, one of the things that's also come to mind is that, you know, in addition to specific activities and specific tasks and specific products and capabilities, you know, it is also a cultural shift per se. Just like how IT was a cultural shift in terms of how customers did business, or basically enterprises did business, automation and AI provides the next leap in terms of how businesses are going to do business per se. So with that, we're just going to see more of it. Either you adapt and thrive, otherwise it'll be difficult for enterprises to survive.
Yeah, so I agree. I think the eventual goal of whether it is AI, machine learning, and automation is leading to sort of an autonomous business and IT system. Of course, this is also positively changing, and it has already changed expectations of we as individuals when it comes to dealing with these technologies. So we are now taking a lot more things for granted. Somebody else is doing it for us. So a solution of this kind that auto-adapts to changing workloads, changing technology, changing business scenario, it requires minimum human intervention to do this, and also has a low possibility of human error, is what is ultimately the aim from an enterprise point of view. And this will effectively lead to a closed-loop autonomous enterprise, which is going to have all of these attributes. Just to draw a parallel, right? I mean, now the way the world has adopted cloud as a technology, right? It almost feels criminal if you cannot swipe your credit card and consume a service on demand. So that kind of permanent shift is going to happen once these technologies become mainstream in the enterprise. The old way of doing things through workflows and processes is going to be a passé, if I can use that term, is what I feel.
Rahu Kelkar is the global head of product management at Digitate. Tarak Parekh is the director of product management at Nutanix, where he leads the manageability and API charter at the company. This is the Tech Barometer podcast. I'm Jason Lopez. Tech Barometer is a production of The Forecast. We invite you to listen to other podcasts or read tech stories at theforecastbynutanix.com.